Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and David Garrard.
All right, welcome in everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here. I don't know if I messed up or not, Tony, with the whole third co-host part of the show today. I'm not sure how things went down. David Garrard was in with us last Thursday. And we've got Duval Doom coming in tomorrow. You know what? Maybe we'll have them both in tomorrow at this rate. I'm not sure because I'm trying to think back to what I told Dave last week on what day he's coming in or what day we wanted him to come in. And I'm pretty sure I would have told him Thursday.
You did.
Did I tell him Thursday?
You're right. You're not losing it.
Are you sure about that? Because I've been known to lose it, Tyler. I probably also told him I would follow up with a text or something like that.
Hopefully he's listening.
I did not follow up with a text until 5 minutes ago. So perhaps with David Garrard today, Tony, perhaps not. We'll see how that whole thing goes. Happy Thursday to you. March 10th cannot get here soon enough. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm with you.
Unbelievable. Just the continued rounds of rumors and speculations, which is fun, but at certain point, I just want some clarity, and let's just see what this team is going to do. We've gone through just about every permutation of who they're going to spend money on, how much money they're going to spend, how aggressive are they going to be, what guys are they going to pursue when it's all said and done. Had a ton of questions yesterday on Twitter about the released players. Tony, some interesting guys out there. I don't think A.J. Hawk is a fit in Jacksonville. I have questions about him and Reggie Bush and Jacoby Jones and that's a slew of guys getting released, so we'll get to all that coming up. A couple of points of emphasis, though, to start the show. Congrats to Paul Spicer.
Yeah.
Got hooked up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Joe Cullen, mm-hmm. who he was an assistant, kind of an apprentice line coach under here a couple seasons ago in Jacksonville, and Joe Cullen working with the defensive line down in Tampa. And Spice got on board with the Tampa Bay Bucs. So what are you going to do about Monday night?
I'm not sure exactly what's going to be going on with Monday nights. He told me last week that at the very least he would call in for a little bit on the show. So we'll see what winds up happening with timeout. But the show will go on one way or another. And congratulations to Paul Spicer for getting that job down there in Tampa. I know he's been looking to get hooked back up with somebody here for the last couple weeks. He was funny about it last week. He didn't want to talk about it on air. He was just like, no, we're not talking about it. And somehow everybody in league circles knew that Paul Spicer was getting that job. He was like, I had media members in Tampa calling me. I was like, I would pick up the phone. Why do you want to talk to me? I'm an assistant defensive line coach for this football team.
Yeah, it's February, Paul.
I know. But congratulations to Paul Spicer. Couldn't happen to a
nicer guy. Yeah, Spice is a good dude, man. We'll miss him here on 1010XL on a weekly basis. But I'm sure you haven't heard the last from him on these airwaves at some point in the future. And arrivederci to Will Blackman. Will Blackman, is safe to say Jaguar Twitter's favorite player? Would that be accurate?
Among their favorite players,
if
for sure.
He's not the favorite, he's in the running in terms of being responsive to Jaguar fans, interacting with them, talking football with them, joking around, having a good time, just recognizing the growing number of fans that use social media, and he was a big part of that. And a lot of the younger players get that, and you know, Will Blackman on this team was long in the tooth in that secondary when you start to look at guys. He's not an old player, and hopefully for him, he'll be able to catch on quickly somewhere else. That seems to be the speculation around the National Football League, but the Jags are going to release Will Blackman. Don't know if I haven't seen anything official as to whether or not it's done. But
not yet.
They seem to have indicated to him that that's going to happen, and widespread reports of that happening. So good luck to Will Blackman wherever he lands. And, Tony, I think in part that just, on the Jaguars' behalf, tells you the confidence they have in these young cornerbacks on this football team.
And tells you that they're going young at that position. They feel good about what they have. Maybe it's an indication that Alan Ball is going to be a guy that they're going to try to bring back as their fourth corner at some point in this offseason. But Will Blackman is a guy that played well when given the opportunity here in Jacksonville to play and has always been kind of a fantastic athlete in the National Football League, just never able to stay healthy during his time in the National Football League. But like you said, among the fan favorites for what he does away from the football field. I was looking. He just tweeted this morning, stay tuned.
Right.
And watching the response on Twitter to that tweet and the news kind of pouring out a little bit that it looks like Will Blackman's going to get released, the fans responding to him on Twitter, compared to some of the other exits we've seen over the last couple of years for players here from Jacksonville, it's one of the more cordial exits for a player.
I don't expect Will Blackman to be telling us about what a great vacation he's had for the last couple of years.
No,
here in Duval County.
It's
so
certainly not Terrence Knighton, and it's not the it's not one
Aaron
of those
Ross.
Situations. Right. It's it's very much a guy that the fan base really, really loves, and to watch it this morning on Twitter has been kind of cool.
And honestly, it is a case study in just how easy it is to getting good with the fan base, right? I mean, and I'm not saying this in a negative way. I don't think there was any scheming, manipulative stuff behind it. Just show them a little respect, you know, give them a little interaction, and, just be friendly with them. You don't have to go over the top. You don't have to invite them over for a barbecue at your house. But for goodness sakes, it just seems like, you know, the old saw about catching more flies with the honey seems pretty accurate when it comes to the social media verse out there. By the way, David Garrard did text me back. That's a bad mea culpa on my part. He said he had been looking at Friday all week. So guess what, Duval Doom? You're going to hang out with David Garrard tomorrow.
Cool.
If he decides to pop in with us tomorrow. Jags do pick up a little extra cap space with the release of Will Blackman.
They needed it.
Not that they needed it. You know, and honestly, that's the thing about the release by the Green Bay Packers yesterday of A.J. Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
They saved $3.5 million against the cap. I don't care about A.J. Hawk. A.J. Hawk's an inside linebacker who, and I get it, not everybody agrees with all the rankings out there, but just as a point of reference, I believe it was Pro Football Focus ranked him as one of the top 10 worst inside linebackers in the National Football League last year.
Mm-hmm.
Really, and that's what he is. He's an inside linebacker. There's not a thought in my mind that Jacksonville would be interested in A.J. Hawk, but the problem is now, all of a sudden, the Packers have $3.5 million in cap space, and there are two guys presently slated for free agency on the Green Bay Packers that I think a lot of Jaguar fans would like to see hit the open market in Randall Cobb and Brian Bulaga. And, you know, that's half a pretty good contract you could give to a right tackle. That's more than half of what you'd probably need to give to Brian Bulaga. That's probably about a third of what it'll take to sign Randall Cobb, at least, on a yearly average for him. I got to believe the pack is probably maneuvering. Not that they're not just cutting dead weight as well, but that they don't. There's no cap crunch in Green Bay right now. This just makes things a lot easier for them and puts them somewhere around $30 million under the salary cap. So we'll see how much they prioritize those two players out there today. Big story. Kind of, it's a weird story around the NFL is this whole Dez Bryant saga. Saga might be a little much, but I don't know how else to describe it at the moment. You remember back in November, Tony, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network reported that Dez Bryant had police called to his residence six separate times since 2011, I think was the time frame. None of those resulted in any arrests or charges or anything.
Right.
But boy, I mean, once or twice, all right, you know, six times seems like a lot. But at the end of the day, no jeopardy from the NFL, no jeopardy from the legal system. There were no proceedings against him. And, you know, it's not enough just to have police called to your place. However, there's been a rumor that has been going around and has been confirmed, at least that in the sense that reporters have been tracking this story since the early part of last season.
Yep.
Right? Adam Schefter, Rappaport, Mike Florio, and others in NFL circles have been tracking a story that there may be a video of Dez Bryant doing something that has been described, and I'm paraphrasing here, as putting what Ray Rice did to shame, like way worse than what Ray Rice did, you know, on video. I don't know. Nobody says exactly what that thing is. Well, Ian Rappaport then does a public records search or request in the state of Texas, city of Dallas, what have you, and finds out that this incident, which allegedly took place in a Walmart parking lot, may have stemmed from a time when police were called because a woman was seen being dragged from one vehicle into another. And ultimately, the vehicle's owned by Dez Bryant. Another vehicle shows up with two guys in it. And they say they were called by the alleged victim to come pick up her car. The car, which, by the way, she abandoned, which belonged to Des Bryant, but which she abandoned with the door open and a child's toy on the ground, which seems to support the theory or the eyewitness account that she was dragged from a vehicle, right? That's not something you would do. Hey, I'm going to get in somebody else's car. Whether you're having an argument with them or not, you're not going to leave the door open on your vehicle and leave. But she then shows up in a third car, also owned by Des Bryant. So three vehicles owned by Des at this point show up. And Des is in the car with her, and she claims she got into an argument with a guy named Alex. She names the guy, first and last name. It's in the report. And that she said nothing physical, no assault occurred. They had an argument, yet she got in the car and left with him, ostensibly leaving this car wide open in the Walmart parking lot, called the other two guys to come pick up the car. And then they suggested to her, hey, police are here. Maybe you need to come down here. And she asked Des Bryant after the other guy drops her off somewhere to pick her up, and he comes down for moral support. So the story goes, which no charges were filed. Everyone's released. The police indicate that no crime has happened. So nothing should happen to anybody in that regard. But there continue to be rumors that there may be one or more videos of it, including a Walmart surveillance tape and or a cell phone video that the original witness may have taken himself. Nobody knows at this point in time, but the hunt is on in tabloid circles to get their hands on this, and a lot of people are suggesting this is why Dallas won't commit to Des Bryant beyond 1 year.
No, it's been interesting because, like you said, this is a story that's been followed by NFL media members for this entire season, really, and it's an incident that goes back to 2011 is when it happened. But earlier this week, 4 or 5 days ago, the story picked up steam again. I saw 2 days ago where there were reports saying the video is going to come out today or tomorrow. I saw some things online. I don't know how much I believe them, that apparently screenshots have been sent out to different media venues of whatever was on this alleged videotape of Des Bryant doing something that they said was, quote, 5 times worse than what Ray Rice did, whatever that means. And then today's the first time that we've gotten any kind of details on whatever incident may have occurred in that parking lot. I'm curious about the time frame of things in there, because that's a lot going on. She gives a very specific name for who she left that parking lot with and shows back up with Des Bryant later on. It's a fascinating story, and it's one that has been going on for months now, but really picked up steam 4 or 5 days ago. If you would have asked me yesterday when we were going off the air about what happened with Des Bryant, I would say that somebody is trying to blackmail Des Bryant. That's the way it felt yesterday, because somebody had been promising a tape for 2 days now, and nothing had come out about that videotape. The story coming out about the incident in that Walmart parking lot, you certainly would think there is video somewhere of something that happened in that parking lot. And whether you can tell for sure whether it's Des Bryant or another person, who knows? But I certainly think there's something out there that'll show whatever happened in that parking lot 4 years ago.
You just got to wonder.
Yeah.
4 years is a long time. I mean, we're not living in the 1960s when the Zapruder film didn't come to the light of day for years until after the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
This is tabloid era coverage. And it's also sell your video to the media day as well. I mean, I'm surprised if there is a video out there. I'm not saying there can't be one. I'm just surprised if there is, and it's been hunted this, voraciously that it remains unseen by the general public.
Because Deadspin, I mean, I've been watching Deadspin for the last couple of days. They'll send out a tweet every now and then, like, if you have this video,
we'll buy it.
We'll pay for it.
Right.
We want the video. So if there are, I'm sure they're not the only ones. TMZ, I'm sure all of them, if this video exists, everybody wants it right now. And that's why, if you would have asked me yesterday, I would have said, this is all just a hoax. Like, that's the way it felt yesterday. It was all just a hoax. Somebody has some vendetta personally against Des Bryant and put out this word that there may be a videotape of something he did or didn't do. And then the story comes out today about whatever that incident was in that parking lot. Maybe the two are related. We don't know at this point in time exactly what happened in that parking lot. And what she said may have been exactly what happened. It's hard to tell. It doesn't feel right, because you don't leave your door open with a kid's toy on the ground. That part of it is really, really hard to explain, and why a better explanation wasn't expected from the police in that situation is a bit questionable to me.
You got a guy in Des Bryant, you know, who I think somewhat gets a pass when you compare him to a guy like Ray Rice, who police have been dispatched to his mom's home when she called 911 to report that he had assaulted her and hit her in the face with a baseball cap, grabbed her by her clothing forcefully enough to rip the clothing. And, you know, Des Bryant's not the first name that many people bring up when it comes to, you know, players having been accused of something along the roads of domestic violence. Today, it's not the lightest fare we've ever delved into on the program, but we're willing to talk about it today. The Baltimore Ravens indicated that, without putting a complete no on it, they said it's going to be very difficult for us to consider anybody who's got any kind of domestic violence issue in their background. Now, that can be vague. What exactly is an issue? I've had that question today on Twitter anyway. My question to you is, should the Jags act accordingly? Should they have the same kind of policy? In other words, a guy like Greg Hardy. Now, what is an issue? Is an issue being accused of something? Is an issue having testimony in court about how you dragged a woman around and pushed her around and then having that case seemingly settled out of court? Is that an issue? Or do you have to have an adjudication of guilt to find that to be an issue? I guess that's up to you, and you can share your thoughts on that. But if there is a player out there, be it a veteran free agent or a rookie, that's been involved in some kind of issue like that. Dorial Green Beckham, for instance, right? The wide receiver out of Oklahoma didn't play this year and has been, you know, in the past accused of pushing a woman, a girl in college down the stairs. Seems like that happened, you know, and that's part of the character issue that has a guy who's 6'5", 239 pounds seen as a risky prospect. Who otherwise might be considered a top five, top ten draft selection just based on his athletic ability and ability to play wide receiver. So should guys like that be completely off the Jaguars draft board? That's kind of the question today. Should the Jags follow suit with the Ravens, or do you need to take this on a case-by-case basis? Obviously, you have to define what an issue is, but should the Jaguars follow suit with the Baltimore Ravens and say, we're not going to get involved with any player that's had any kind of domestic violence issue in the past? Because, look, obviously in the Ravens' case, they've got the whole situation with Ray Rice last year. They're the last franchise that can afford to lose face in this regard. They can't go down that road. Should the Jags, though, not having had that big issue like the Ravens had, follow suit anyway because you think it's the right thing to do? Or are they putting themselves at a competitive disadvantage? Because guess what? Somebody's signing Greg Hardy in the National Football League. I guarantee you, if he's eligible to play in 2015, he'll be on somebody's roster. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on this Thursday. If you want to get in on any kind of Jacksonville Jaguar issue or NFL issue, 641-1010 is the number. Tweet us your response to the fan feedback question of the day, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. You can also post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. We'll get into some of those players who got released yesterday and would they be fits with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we'll also take a look at Daniel Jeremiah's third mock draft of the mock draft season. It's all coming up on Jaguars Today. Live from Everbank Field, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Oh, we are almost through the month of February. What that means, free agency's right around the corner. That's one of the things it means. It means also tomorrow, Tony, season 3 of House of Cards comes out on Netflix. I am deep into season 2.
Is it worth the hype?
Oh, I love it. I think it's right now that Breaking Bad's off, The Americans is just not as, I don't know, it's not great this season. Don't love it as much. I love it. It's a good show. Mm-hmm. It's just last summer, we did a Friday top five best five dramas currently on TV. I think I had Americans number one, and that was when Breaking Bad was still going on. I just love that show. I don't think the season's as good as it's been in the past, but House of Cards. Ooh, House of Cards is so good.
I can't even remember what I had on that list. I know Breaking Bad was one.
I know I had Justified. I had, I may have had House of Cards. I can't recall. I'm sure Walking Dead was probably on there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Catch up on that too.
I don't know.
I missed Better Call Saul this week. I haven't seen anything.
I'm caught up on everything.
The second half of Walking Dead started. It's just Sunday night's a bad time.
It's a great time of year to watch TV for me. What are you doing on Sunday nights?
Well, I host trivia.
Oh, that's right. You're hosting trivia. You're working. Colling. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
So I don't get home until like 9:30 or 10 o'clock on Sunday nights. And by then, I don't feel like waiting up till midnight
to watch a replay.
Right. And so, especially this past weekend with the Oscars being on, I got home and sat down and watched the Oscars. But
bully for you.
Yeah. Haven't caught up yet on The Walking Dead. I'm through the mid-season finale, which was not the case until 2 weeks ago.
By the way, if you haven't watched House of Cards since the last season, because it's a binge-watching show, because they put the whole season out at one time.
Yep.
They put all 13 episodes out. So everybody ends up watching, or I say everybody, a lot of people end up watching it in a course of 2 or 3 days, which is probably what I will attempt to do, because it's so good, you just want to go into the next one. But having not watched it in almost a year, because this is about the time of year when it came out last year, don't forget that Claire Underwood is more ruthless than Frank Underwood, if you really get down to it. Although Frank's probably done worse things legally, I think Claire, in her heart of hearts, may be the most ruthless person on the show. I don't want to ruin it for anybody. It's an easy catch-up if you have Netflix. 26 episodes.
Yeah.
Get caught up. I'm in the midst of that. I started last week. And it reminded me just why it is as good as it is. Let's get some phone calls going here. 641-1010. The Greg Hardy situation is interesting, Tony, because he was found guilty. He was convicted of assaulting his girlfriend, Nicole Holder, at the time. And in North Carolina, there's an automatic appeal of any conviction. I don't understand the legal system, but this is the way, what I've gathered from just reading the coverage of the story over the last year. And in that appeal, the charges were dismissed because she failed to show up and nobody could get hold of her. Not only showed up, but they would call her. They couldn't reach her. The feeling is that Hardy basically paid her off, right? So is this a guy with an issue? I mean, in the eyes of the law, he doesn't face any jeopardy, right? Because his charges were dismissed. Yes, he was found guilty the first time around, but if you are found guilty and then you appeal something and the decision's reversed, well, in the eyes of the law, you're not guilty, right? That seems to be the way it works. So,
yeah.
But with the testimony that was given and the specter that, I mean, to me, common sense indicates he paid her off. I don't know if he did or not. I'm not trying to get sued, but I would imagine that seems like a reasonable conclusion to make. Do you consider that to be a guy with domestic violence issues? I mean, there certainly was an issue. If it went to trial, there was an issue. But is that the kind of issue that should preclude you? If you're the Baltimore Ravens, for instance, when they draw this line in the sand, they say, we're not going to sign anybody with domestic violence issues. Does Greg Hardy fit that? I would think yes. Common sense would tell me yes. But in the eyes of the law, the answer would be no.
Well, you're not necessarily in the eyes of the law. There is, you know, there is a common sense issue there. And so from the perspective of Baltimore, no, they shouldn't be interested in signing Greg Hardy, not after what they said. And any other team that came out and took a strong stance on the whole domestic violence issue, no. If they were serious about what they had to say, then no, you don't seriously consider signing a guy like Greg Hardy. Now, a lot of teams didn't say anything. So that's where the Greg Hardy thing gets interesting, is what kind of contract is a guy as talented as Greg Hardy going to get in this offseason? Because he's obviously worth being paid like a top 5 or 10 defensive end in this league. Will he be, though, given the off-field issues that he's had?
All right, let's get to the phones. And if you want to weigh in on that or any other Jaguar NFL-related issue, you're welcome to do that at 641-1010. International Black Man Number 2 is what he calls himself, and he joins us now on Jaguars Today. What's up, IBM?
Okay.
Hello? He blew it, Tyler. Put him on hold. I don't know what he's doing.
We'll get him back. He was pumped, trust me.
You know what? He can go to the end of the line. You got to be ready when you're called upon on Jaguars Today. You might not get a second chance. You got to seize your opportunity. Let's go to Matt next up, or first up, I should say, on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Yes, sir. How y'all doing, man? How
good.
Y'all doing?
What's up?
Man, with these Jaguars, man, I think, actually, to tell you the truth, defense-wise, man, I like what I saw. You know, they got better throughout the year. I think they need to concentrate on the free safety issue. I think they need to concentrate heavily on the offense side, man. We can get the offensive line straightened up, and they need a running game, man. They need a running game so they can get a balanced attack to help Double B out. That way he won't be have that much pressure on him. And real quick, man, with this moral issue with these players, I think we're a society, man, where we put these players on such a high pedestal, but when they mess up, when they fall down, we're so quick not to forgive, and we forget that all of us are humans and we make mistakes. If it's a repetitive pattern, if it's a pattern, it happens all the time, I can understand that. But if you guys mess up one time, we want to beat them under the bush. And I wouldn't be mad at Jacksonville if they went after Ray Rice. I'd take the rest out there.
All right. Thanks, Matt. I would. I mean, so, and I guess for me, you know, it probably is because I know exactly the extent of that. And look, I'm not trying to excuse any domestic violence, Tony, but if someone were to push someone in the shoulder, right, they could be guilty of domestic assault, right? I suppose, right? And that to me, while it's not acceptable, is not as egregious as someone punching a female in the face and knocking her out cold in an elevator or anywhere else. And maybe that makes me the guy with the double standard. I don't know. I wouldn't want this franchise to touch Ray Rice with a name the pole. I don't care how long the pole is. I don't want him to touch Ray Rice. My thinking is that Greg Hardy assaulted this woman based on the testimony that was given in the court and the initial finding of guilty. They didn't find him not guilty on appeal. They dismissed the charges because she didn't show up. So, you know, look, I'm not going to chastise anybody who says Greg Hardy made a mistake or Greg Hardy, under the eyes of the law, doesn't have any jeopardy hanging over his head, so therefore we shouldn't hold him to any kind of different standard. But I find, for me personally, if I don't want Ray Rice on the team, how can I justify saying I would be okay with Greg Hardy on the team?
Well, I don't know that you can. And maybe the reason, unless the reason you don't want Ray Rice is because you just feel like he doesn't give you anything as a player anymore.
Well, there's that as well, but I don't want a guy who could do what he did. I really don't. And maybe, look.
Then don't go get Hardy, and that's fine.
Right. But there is a different, like, one thing we know about the Ray Rice situation, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He did what he did. We all saw what he did. Whether we saw it or not, if he were found guilty of it or pled to something as stemming from a result of that, that's proof that something occurred. Here, ultimately, the charges were dismissed, and I understand the circumstances that went into it. So I'm trying to weigh a guy's kind of legal rights versus the court of common sense and public opinion, or my own version of common sense.
Well, that's kind of the thing here. There doesn't legal rights have nothing to do with what a football team or a fan base feels about a player. Like, that's
true, but I think it does have an effect on how the league would treat them and how teams may approach a guy. I mean, how you
no, it does, but that is the court of common sense. That there, it's not hanging over his head right now. So it is just a common sense issue of, we all kind of know what Greg Hardy did. And while he wasn't found guilty of it in a court of law, we all kind of know what happened with Greg Hardy behind the scenes there. It's just nothing came of it in court. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means that nothing came of it in court, so you can't hold it against him legally. But that doesn't mean you can't hold it against him morally if that's the stance
you
want to take.
My point is, he's never admitted he did any of that. So how do we know? How can you know that this is what happened? I believe it's what happened, okay? But I don't know, because she didn't show up. Maybe, and maybe this is, you know, a 1% chance that this is the case, but maybe she was exaggerating or making it up and didn't show up to the appeal because she was afraid she was going to get charged with perjury. I don't know. I mean, I know that seems maybe far-fetched, but that would be my defense if I'm Greg Hardy. Hey, wait a minute. Who says this happened, right? Where is she? She didn't back up her claim. I had my day in court and she didn't show up, and the court ruled me, at least the charges should be dismissed. It's not an easy situation, I don't think. Let's get Mike up here next on 1010XL. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Good topic today, guys. It got me thinking. I was, because I've been hearing a lot of people one way or another about Sue, and obviously now about Bryant, because he could be a free agent. I mean, it's just a case of would you rather. I mean, would you rather have Bryant, the guy who could obviously help our team but has off-the-field issues, or a guy like Sue, who obviously could help our team but has on-the-field issues? I mean, what do you think is more important to a team like Jacksonville? And more importantly, if we get Bryant, if that happens, do you think Michael Irvin becomes a Jaguar groupie?
Quite possibly. And I don't think they will get Bryant, because ultimately the Cowboys are not going to relinquish his rights. There's been no indication that they will. But, I mean, Dez Bryant, Tony, you know, apparently he had a run it. There is a domestic assault, if you, however you want to care, family assault, okay, against his own mom, who called 911 against him. Is it as bad as what Ray Rice did? Maybe not in terms of degree. But this, to me, if Dez Bryant were a free agent, I got to believe the Baltimore Ravens stance was, nope, he's on the wrong side of the line, right? So that's what I'm talking about. Should the Jags have that bright a line? Do you look at Dez Bryant? One of our first callers said, hey, you know what? You make a mistake, you amend for it, you get a second chance. To me, I'm not giving a second. Let somebody give Ray Rice a second chance. It's America. I'm not going to stop him from doing it. I'm not going to support a second chance for him.
No, probably not for Ray Rice, and that's where it gets interesting with guys like Greg Hardy and especially Dez Bryant, because they're so young and talented that you want to look past it. You know, for what you can get on the field from those types of guys, and that's where, you know, it becomes a question of how committed are you to whatever stance you're going to take on this kind of thing. Is there enough with the history of Greg Hardy that you're willing to not look past these incidents to get in a guy that is as talented as Greg Hardy and can help a football team as much as he can? And Dez Bryant, it's becoming the same kind of situation. We'll see how it plays out with that whole incident in 2011 in that Walmart parking lot, because there's still, at least, if there is a video, certainly it will come out at some point in time, and everyone will be able to make their own judgment on that. But they're so talented that this debate that we've been having in sports for I don't know how long, where you're willing to overlook bad things away from the field because of how talented a guy is. These two guys may be a classic example of that going on in front of our eyes right now.
Always been multiple sets of rules. Doesn't mean you or your franchise have to follow those rules. You can set your own agenda, but are you putting yourself behind at a competitive disadvantage? Because, again, somebody's going to sign these players.
Right.
They're going to be out there performing for somebody in the National Football League. We had to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Phone lines are loaded up. Stay right there. We'll get to you next. 641-1010. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, let's not belabor it, Tony. Let's get right into the phone calls. That's a me issue. I like to chat it up coming out of the break sometimes. 641-1010, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Tomorrow, Good and Evil, David Garrard and Duval Doom will share the studio with us.
Yeah.
Doom's offering to bring breakfast. I don't know. I blocked him on Twitter once. I might have you taste that breakfast first. That's all right with you. I'm not 100% sure that he's still back. We're still in each other's good graces. But we'll get the voice of the fan tomorrow. First time we've done it. Invited one of the just hardcore Jag fans out there to come in and give their opinion kind of on the state of the franchise and where it's headed. David Garrard will join us in studio tomorrow as well. Today, you have me and Tony at 641-1010. You want to weigh in? Phone lines are loaded. Give him one more chance. The International Black Man, number two, IBM. Are you there?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, let's get all three of them.
Get all three of who?
Back and two on that side. And Red Bryant on the other side. Then you throw down with Greg Hardy at DE, and nobody can run the ball on them.
So your point, you basically don't care. You don't care about any of the off the field stuff.
But the thing about, you see what Karen did for us? It's got us two wins in 10 years.
Okay, I wouldn't suggest that's the only reason that they.
You got Ray Lewis playing. After that controversy, if he was working for the job I had, he would have lost his job.
Right. Well, I didn't do it to you, IBM.
you got Phillips that killed a woman in an accident. I don't understand the other dude, but man, come on, man, they ain't killed nobody.
Who did you say? Lawrence Phillips killed a woman? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I don't think Lawrence Phillips killed a woman.
Under DUI. Come on, man. I mean.
All right, IBM.
But the bull in the ring out. So if they hit on their wife, then they get in that bull in the ring and they get beat up in that bull in the ring.
Oh, I see. All right, so we'll just go vigilante justice. All right, cut him off. He's not hearing a word.
It sounds like he's on speakerphone as well.
It does.
It's hard to hear him.
Yeah, I'd like to say you're better than that. From now on, get a better phone and answer it the first time we go to you. All right? I couldn't make sense of half of what you're saying there. I think he said Lawrence Phillips killed a woman. Did he kill a woman? Maybe he did. Oh, maybe he did. Is he in prison now for, like, DUI or something like that?
No. He had the thing where...
He pushed a woman down some stairs or dragged his girlfriend or something?
Wasn't he the one who... ran his car into three teenagers.
He might have done something like that.
You know, there was some kind of argument that happened.
Warfield's a bad guy.
I don't think any of them got killed, but there was a domestic abuse thing with him, too.
We're in a different time now, too, right? I mean, Lawrence Phillips, then, I'd like to think he'd be radioactive in today's NFL. Maybe not. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe I'm naive. It seems like he'd be radioactive, at least to the Baltimore Ravens organization. Let's get Steve
on. I'm on his wiki page right now, and he's had issues.
Is he in prison right now?
Yeah, he is.
For what?
He was found guilty on 7 counts stemming from the hitting those kids with his car. And while he was serving a 10-year sentence, he was then convicted in August of 2009 for an assault on a former girlfriend on 7 counts, including assault with great bodily injury. Apparently, he choked a woman until she was unconscious.
Yeah, he's a pig. He can rot in whatever hellhole he's
years.
In right now.
31 years.
Good for him. Good for the legal system. Steve, you're next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
How's it going, fellas?
Good. What's up?
My argument this morning is trying to figure out if the Jags says no point in keeping Short. Well, is there a point of keeping Henny, regardless that he's under contract? But it's just I'm tired of seeing Henny, and it's like this point of waters go down, you know, the season is over. Every other journeyman in the league that has come into new systems and played well. We've had that excuse. Well, he knows the system. Just because he knows the system doesn't mean he played well in the system. Just because he's light in the locker room, Choice is light in the locker room, too. So I just find it, I'm not saying it's going to be an issue or making an issue, but I think we should have another face back there because we should see somebody new. Because you never know what you could get. Somebody new might come in and play decent in the system or play better than Henny in the system. But it's like, why are we keeping Henny when, obviously, after last season, something's going to work. It ain't going to work with him. So bring somebody else in, give somebody else a chance.
All right. Well, a couple of things. One, first of all, it's a new system. There is no system anymore,
no.
Right? You got a new offense coordinator, so they're putting together a new system. So that argument kind of goes out the window. But I think part of the reason why Henny was attractive to the Jags and why he remains on this roster, Tony, is that he knew what he was getting into. He knew he was coming back to be a placeholder. Well, you got a guy like Josh McCown right now. I mean, how many good veterans are out there, right? McCown, Hoyer. I mean, in that kind of Henny range, that kind of class, there are not many of them, right?
No.
Those guys are Sanchez. I mean, all those guys, I think right now, want to exhaust the possibility of, can I go, there are a lot of bad quarterback situations. Can I go somewhere and compete for a starting job? You come to Jacksonville, you're not competing for a starting job. It's Blake Bortles' job. You know, do you want to overpay for a backup to lure him here? I don't know. To me, it's not the biggest concern, but I get your point. Look, if Bortles goes down, your season's probably shot anyway.
Yeah, you're like a lot of NFL teams where your starting quarterback goes down, the depth at the quarterback position is not great around the National Football League. Is Chad Henne as good as McCown or Matt Moore? Or
I think he is
guys?
As good. Honestly, McCown had half a good year
right.
in his NFL career.
I think he's fine as a backup as much as any of those other guys are. If the caller, if he had said, look, I think we should be looking and day three of the NFL draft to draft a young guy as kind of like a prospect to develop. I'm cool with that.
And they may do that.
The idea of that, but the idea of cut Henny so you can go get something that's on this free agent market, that's ridiculous.
There's not much out there on the free agent market. I get what he's saying. He goes, look, we've seen what Henny is. Give me something, anything different. And that may be the case. And I can understand the point of view. I don't think it's a crazy point of view. I just don't think it's that big a deal one way or the other, because I wouldn't expect Josh McCown to come in and save this franchise season.
No.
You know, he did it one time for a half a year with Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey to throw to.
And the quarterback whisperer.
And the quarterback, right, in his first year there with Matt Forte coming out of the backfield, catching his dump-off passes, and he played very well for about half a season. He went to Tampa. And he played miserably last year when he got his chance to start. Again, with Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans down there, you could do a lot worse in terms of wide receiver talent. So I don't know how much, I'm a little distracted. Tyler, what did Scobie tweet a moment ago?
So Scobie's listening to the program, obviously heard IBM.
Hi, Scobie.
IBM number two, and he just tweeted out, okay, 1010XL caller.
I assume that's who he's referring to.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, let's go to Mark up next and see what he brings to the table. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good morning, fellas.
What's up?
Hey, man. No, I want to comment on this. This topic I think is a good topic, man, as it relates to, you know, bringing guys back who has had some off the field issues, man. I think is it like with guys like Ray Rice, man. You don't want to come off like a douche and say, you know, bring him back and, you know, give the impression that you support what he did, because I think, you know, most guys would acknowledge that that was just a horrible thing, you know, how he conducted himself. But, you know, it was horrible. It was all over the media, you know, it was in front of everybody. So I get that. But, you know, that's the whole point of the, you know, the justice system. You know, if no one should ever get a second chance, then what's the point in going and paying your debt to society? You know, some guys, you know, they might go to prison and get out and then lead a successful life. You learned a lesson, you know. I don't know what, you know, what lesson, Ray Rice has learned or what debt, cause he didn't do much, time from as it relates to going to jail or whatever, but he hasn't been able to play in the NFL. And maybe being embarrassed is probably worse than, you know, any type of actual physical, turmoil he could have went through. So I would say give him a second chance. You know, I mean, you go through, you learn, you know, he's still young, 25. Most of these guys are still in their 20s, you know, and I know from some standards, he's still a young man. So I say give him a second chance, and let's see if some of these guys can get it together.
All right. That's your prerogative, certainly. In the case of Ray Rice, I disagree with you, Mark, but I get it. At least I get where you're coming from. I understand. I think where you're coming from on that. But, you know, a couple of things about Ray Rice. A, I don't think it's the first time he's ever done something to her. I don't think the first time you lay your hands on a woman is when you knock her out cold with a closed fist with a degree. I mean, if you've never struck a woman before in your life, you think the first time you do is going to be that, or is it going to be something leading up to that? You know what I mean?
And with no reaction to it either.
Right. Like, oh, he didn't freak out like, oh my goodness, what have I done? He kicked her leg to see if she was awake or faking.
Yep.
I mean,
and then pulled her out of the way in case someone else needed to get on the elevator.
My guess is Ray Rice has done this plenty of times, okay? Or at least something leading up to this. This may have been the escalation of it all, but that's for me. And look, yes, the justice system, second chance. You have the right as Ray Rice to go out there and, you know, get gainful employment if you can get it. I have the right as an employer to say, I don't want you working for me.
Exactly.
I have the right as a fan to say, you know what? You don't represent what I hold dear. I don't want to root for you.
Hey, I was watching the NFL Network recapping of the Combine, and they were doing their mock draft, and it surprised me that I saw Dante Fowler Jr. at, like, the top three spots, and I was like, is this a reality? Is that actually going to happen? Do you guys feel like he's actually that worth, just from the Combine, to go at a top three pick?
Well, you know, just based on the Combine, I don't think anybody's worth anything just based on the Combine. There had been some in the draft community, right? The whoever you talk to, the McShays, the Rob Rangs, the Daniel Jeremiah's, whoever. Dante Fowler had a growing reputation leading into the Combine. To me, that's not an indication of everyone all of a sudden got together, started watching the tape differently, and they realized, wow, we were missing something with Dante Fowler. That is, at this time of the year, people start to get actual information about how front offices and scouting departments feel about certain prospects, and they were being told that Dante Fowler is held in a lot higher regard than they believed him to be. That's the only way it happens, when you see them all simultaneously move a guy up the board at the same time. And they'll tell you that, you know, the combine shouldn't matter that much. Who's the kid out of Byron Jones out of UConn?
Yeah.
Daniel Jeremiah has him as a first-round pick now, Tony. And they're going to tell you the combine doesn't mean anything because this guy broad jumped 12 feet 3 inches and had a vertical
now,
of nearly 45 inches.
Jeremiah, I don't know if he had him in his last mock draft going in the first round, but I know Jeremiah loved Byron Jones. He's been on that guy for a month now.
Well,
so I don't know.
I'll go back and I'll check his previous mock drafts.
Sure.
He has him going 20th overall right now. If he didn't have him in his first round before, that would seem to indicate he got a major boost from his combine performance. Yet they're all going to tell you that the tape is much more important. Dante Fowler, to get to the heart of the question, Evan, is, I would imagine, a guy that is seriously being considered league-wide as being worthy of a top five overall selection. And right now, I think if you were to poll everybody, and we'll look at a couple of mock drafts coming up that just got released either yesterday or this very morning, and if it goes Winston and Leonard Williams coming off the board, the consensus right now is Dante Fowler would be the next position player to go after Leonard Williams in the draft. The Jags obviously select next at number 3. We've got this date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL. More of your phone calls straight ahead. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, February 26th, 1973. Happy birthday to one of the most prolific all-around yardage gobblers in NFL history, Mr. Marshall Faulk, turns 42 today. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Tony, Marshall Faulk is the all-time leading receiver among running backs. He edged out Larry Centers by about 100 yards when his career was all said and done. Over 6,000 yards catching the football out of the backfield to go along with all of his rushing yards. Marshall Faulk trails only Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, and Walter Payton for the most yards gained from scrimmage in NFL history. Your current active top 10 guys, Steven Jackson comes in. Does Steven Jackson strike you as anything close to a Hall of Famer?
No.
Me either, right? He's got over 15,000 career yards, which is 21st all-time. He's the active leader. Reggie Wayne comes in at number 26. Frank Gore, Andre Johnson, Steve Smith. Obviously, guys getting towards the tail end of their careers. Anquan Boldin, Larry Fitzgerald, Adrian Peterson, despite missing 1 year due to an ACL, or most of that year, and most of last year due to being on the commissioner's exempt list for allegedly abusing a child, Matt Forte, and then Maurice Jones-Drew, longtime Jaguars, 10th among currently active players. Maurice, by the way, has a total that's easy to remember. 11,111. 11,111 yards total from scrimmage for Maurice Jones-Drew. That is this date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Get a professional free estimate for your next fencing project for your home or business by calling 268-1638. Visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That wraps up this state football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, it is veteran cutting season around the National Football League. The Detroit Lions have cut running back Reggie Bush. Bush carried the ball just 76 times for 297 yards in 11 games last year for the Lions. The Baltimore Ravens have cut special teams maven Jacoby Jones, who was a hero for them on their run to a Super Bowl title 3 years ago. And the Green Bay Packers have cut linebacker and former first-round pick, number 5 overall, A.J. Hawk. Hawk has spent all 9 seasons in the league, with the Packers missing only 2 games in that time frame. The always entertaining Darnell Dockett posted a video to his Instagram account offering some free advice to an Arizona local youth football team. His advice, quote, "I want y'all to get a girlfriend by next week, right? I want y'all to say no to drugs. I don't want y'all hanging around in the strip clubs. Not yet. End quote. If you don't follow Dockett on Twitter, what are you waiting on? Here's a gem he put out. I saw this just yesterday. The first tweet, nothing worse than having to speed somewhere and the police right next to me and he going slow. I'm not trying to get pulled over. He followed that with, if this police pull me over, I'm just going to say, brah, it's leg day at the gym and I got to get this comeback player a year. And he'd be like, deuces, and throw up a peace sign. Dockett, one of the best follows on Twitter.
Good luck with that, Darnell.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. All right. So there you have it.
Don't want to see y'all in this strip club.
Throw up the deuces, man.
Not yet.
It's all good, brah. I'm on my way. It's leg day. We'll get to coming up in a few minutes. We'll take a peek at a couple of new mock drafts out from Daniel Jeremiah and Todd McShay. But also, what about Reggie Bush? What about Jacoby Jones? Certainly, I don't think either one of us think A.J. Hawk is going to help this football team among the veterans released yesterday. But, Tony, we've had Jaguar fans call this program from Ireland, from England, from Australia. Mm-hmm. Where else have we had them call
South
from?
South America, somewhere.
Somewhere in South America. Yeah. Right now, Tyler tells me that Peter is on the line. You can be on the line as well at 641-1010. Peter calling from Slovenia, who wants to express his love for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Peter, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
We're good. You're in Slovenia right now?
Right now, yeah. I live in Slovenia, and it's pretty cold outside.
Yeah, how cold is it in Slovenia?
I don't know in Fahrenheit, but it's around 4 degrees.
About 4 degrees Celsius?
Yeah.
It's colder than it is in Jacksonville, I'll give you that. So, Peter, how did you become a Jacksonville Jaguar fan all the way in Slovenia?
It was about 4 or 5 years ago. I didn't know anything about American football. I was just slamming through the internet, and then I saw Maurice Jones-Drew, a real small guy like me.
Yeah?
With big tights, making tackles. It was incredible. I said, okay, that's a sport I would like.
So and, MJD was your first kind of introduction.
Yeah, he's the one that made me start to like Jaguars.
Well, let me ask, it's got to be tough. I mean, you just became a Jaguar fan about 5 years ago. There haven't been a lot of wins for the team in that time period. Have you questioned your selection of team to root for, or are you a diehard? You're never. Good man.
There are some fans in Slovenia, but 90% of them, they're Patriots fans.
Oh, is that right? They're
you can imagine why.
We call them front runners, Peter. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Bandwagon or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it will pay off for you.
My wife doesn't really support my love because she says, okay, stop buying all this stuff from Jaguars. But she surprised me 2 years ago.
Do you get to watch the games?
Serious game to London.
You did get to go to see them in London. That's cool.
It was awesome.
Awesome. Any chance you're going to go this year when they play Buffalo in London?
No, not this year.
Okay.
A year or two, maybe we'll go to Jacksonville.
All right. Well, why don't you come all the way to Jacksonville, man? We'd love to have you here.
Yes, it's a bit expensive.
I understand.
Okay. We're trying to move in the new house, so it's not.
Well, listen, priorities, right, man. But that's awesome. Do you have a Twitter? Are you on Twitter?
Slovene Jack.
Slovene Jack.
Yeah.
All right. I'll look for you on Twitter.
And you may not be the best at football, but Jaguars Twitter definitely the best.
Jaguars what are definitely the best?
Yeah. Twitter.
Twitter. Oh, yeah. Jaguars
Twitter.
Jaguars kill it on Twitter, don't they?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Well, Peter, that's awesome, man. Thank you so much for calling. And,
Thank you.
The international presence is growing by leaps and bounds.
That's right.
Tony.
Now we've hit Eastern Europe.
That's awesome, dude. You got to get a call from Slovenia. Nice job, Peter. We appreciate
that. Yeah, I believe it's at PMURAUS on Twitter if you want to give him a follow.
Okay.
At PMURAUS.
Tweet that one out because that went right over my head, and I will retweet it for you. That was cool.
Actually, here's what I'll do. I'll retweet at Irish Jaguar, who apparently was friends with him already, tweeted it out. So I'll retweet Irish Jag, and it has the handle in there for
We're connecting the world, yeah. Tony, one city, state, nation at a time. By the way, you want to go? Let me go deep into the geekdom right here. You know the game Civilization,
mm-hmm.
right? Apparently somebody has put together a simulation that's running on its own, and it started like, you know, I only played Civilization once. I had it what would you call it? Iteration of the game 1 year I had it. I don't play it every year and go through the whole thing. I'm sure there are crazy advancements since I played it like 10 years ago.
Sure.
But they set it up with 42 areas or tribes. I don't know how it would be. And then they set the thing to go, everyone's at full on war against everybody else, basically. And this thing is apparently going on a scale on somebody's supercomputer somewhere, and Deadspin or one of those associated websites had a story on it yesterday. It was pretty fascinating. About half the countries of the world have been eliminated, it's kind of cool to watch it go. But Slovenia just struck a big blow for Jaguar Nation in Eastern Europe. Love it. 90% are Patriot fans. That's typical, man. It's the same thing here, Peter. Bunch of bandwagon people out there. Be loyal.
Asia, Africa, Antarctica. It's what we need.
Come on. Let's reel them in.
If you're out there, 641-1010. I don't know how that works internationally. Good luck.
Ice Station Zebra, check in, please. I know that was not Antarctica, but I don't know what Ice Station. Somebody's down there, right?
Yeah.
In Antarctica? Let's find out what hashtag we need to get their attention, and let's get them to call into the program. I bet that's an expensive bit of long distance. I don't know how the cell service works that well down at the South Pole.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's get Frank in here before we break. Hey, Frank, you're on Jaguars today. How are you this morning?
Fine. How y'all?
Good. What's up?
I've been listening to your comments about problem ball players that could possibly help the Jaguars, and it made me think of Justin Blackmon. I was wondering where he stood with the organization right now. Are we still paying him, and will he be playing for us? And what is our limit of tolerance to obviously, it's not as bad as Ray Rice and some of these other ball players, but I was just wanting to get your stance on him coming back, and is he still being paid?
As of right now, he's not being paid because he's not reinstated. We don't know. He is eligible to apply for reinstatement, and the team has expressed that if he does all the right things, stays out of trouble from this point forward, that they are going to welcome him back. And it's interesting because Tony and I were talking about this on one of the breaks. You say it's not as bad as Ray Rice, and that's your prerogative. I'm not trying to say it is or it isn't. But you can make an argument either way you like. You can say, look, Ray Rice did something to one individual that was heinous and horrible. Every time you get behind the wheel of a car, when you're drunk, you're risking a lot of people's lives or health and well-being, what have you. Maybe without the same intent that Ray Rice had, so you factor that in. But right now, the Jags are not paying anything to Justin Blackmon. He's still under his rookie contract. It's extremely affordable for them. There's no reason for them. If they're comfortable, if Justin Blackmon doesn't screw up from this point forward, the Jags are comfortable bringing him back under that scenario, why would you cut him, right?
No,
exactly. Not costing you anything other than pairing your name with his, your franchise's name, continuing to pair that up. And I would imagine if he had some other off-field anything that would put the end to his chances of ever suiting up in a Jaguar uniform again. But right now, the ball's in his court. He needs to apply for reinstatement to the National Football League and take it from there. 641-1010. We got to take a break. We will come back, take a look at a couple of new mock drafts that are out there. Take more of your calls at 641-1010. International hotline's open right now at 904-641-1010. What do you have to do? Dial, I don't know what the, is it just one? I don't know what the country code is. I had this all figured out when I went to London, Tony. Figure it out for yourself, international callers.
Apparently, but it's 001, according to Christoph.
I think he's probably right. I had that.
I'll tweet that too.
There you have it. The international line is open along with the domestic line at 904-641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Jaguars today, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. All right, international callers, we will bump you to the front of the line. Slovene Jaguar, at PMURAUS, just gave him a follow. And he was talking to somebody on Twitter. He said, yeah, just wait for my phone bill. we'll get you on quick. All right, we'll do our best to get you on quick. We appreciate the support from all corners of the globe for your Jacksonville Jaguars. There you have it. All right, Tony, a couple of quick things before we get back to the phone lines. A couple of new mock drafts out. They're worth the digital paper that they're printed on, but we look at them anyway. Both of them have Dante Fowler going to the Jags. Both of them having the Bucks taking Jameis Winston, Leonard Williams going to the Titans, and the Jags settling or selecting, however you want to look at it, Dante Fowler Jr. out of the University of Florida. This is Daniel Jeremiah, posted his yesterday from NFL.com, NFL Network, and ESPN's Todd McShay posting one this morning as well. And, you know, these are guys that will tell you it's all about the tape, the tape, the tape. The combine's just going to confirm what you already saw on tape or send you scrambling back to the tape, as they like to say, to make sure you watched it right the first time. Because I find it interesting that Byron Jones, who was a workout warrior at the combine, goes from not being in Daniel Jeremiah's last mock draft to now he's a top 20 pick. But yet, no, they don't overreact to the combine at all, do they? They'll tell you that, and then they do the exact opposite. A couple of interesting things I thought. Jeremiah had Todd Gurley going 17th to the San Diego Chargers, and he had Melvin Gordon going 26th to the Baltimore Ravens. So both of those guys, a lot of people think that the Jags might be interested in one of the high-end running backs if they're available at the top of the second round. Won't be the case in that permutation of a mock draft there. I'm trying to see where McShay had Todd Gurley, and I can't get this thing to scroll properly. I don't know if he had Todd Gurley in the first round. But,
I'm looking at it now.
He had him at 31. He had Gordon at 27 to the Dallas Cowboys. So Gordon at 27, he had Gurley going 31 to the Seattle Seahawks. But basically, both of them have Dante Fowler Jr. going to the Jags. Both of them, interestingly, have Kevin White out of West Virginia going to the Oakland Raiders. A lot of people had mocked Amari Cooper there for a while.
Yeah.
Kevin White, not by a wide margin, but a little bit more athletically impressive at the combine than Amari Cooper, right? And people say he has a higher ceiling. I'll tell you this, if you look at Daniel Jeremiah's mock drafts, every other one, he's flip-flopping Amari Cooper and Kevin White in there. So I think he's trying to cover all his bases. He can go back. If they take one of those guys, will say, see, in several of my mock drafts, I had so-and-so.
Kevin White seems more like a Raider pick to me than Amari Cooper does. But
a historically Raider pick.
Maybe
sure.
That's just the history of it bleeding over for me a little bit. But a guy that size that runs a 4.35, he is a little bit bigger than Amari Cooper. He obviously ran a little bit faster than Amari Cooper, but you are talking about a guy who got it done from 1 year while he was at West Virginia. Now, it was a fantastic year last year for Kevin White, and when you look at him at 6'2", 215, he is a little bit bigger and a little bit faster than Amari Cooper, but Amari Cooper certainly feels like a guy who's more ready to come into the NFL and be a route runner right now than a guy like Kevin White. In the end, I'm curious to see what exactly happens with that, because I do think that for NFL teams, for whatever reason, that 2 inches and 20 pounds and 0.08 seconds on a 40 tends to mean something when I'm not sure it means as much as they want it to in the end.
Saw something from Greg Cosell, by the way. I'm trying to find where I saw it. I should have bookmarked it better, but basically to the effect that Randy Gregory, the pass rusher out of Nebraska, is more athletic than Jadeveon Clowney was coming out last year.
My goodness.
Now, well, more athletic, just simply in a sense like a decathlete might be more athletic than Jadeveon Clowney. That doesn't mean he'd be a better football player.
Man, how quickly we forget in a year.
Oh, I know. Jadeveon Clowney was going to be the next Bruce Smith or Reggie White.
I mean, come on.
And now you got a guy who weighs 235 pounds. Yes, he's more athletic. Is he a better football player?
He also says that he's more flexible. He's more explosive in his movement. Clearly not as strong. Clowney could get inside and push back. Clowney did not have the loose hips that this guy does. Gregory is a much more explosive mover, a much more looser athlete.
He may be a looser athlete. Doesn't mean, well, right now, Jadeveon Clowney may be one of the great draft busts in history.
That's kind of my point. We go back to where Jadeveon Clowney was coming into the league, and now he's had some knee problems, and his career could be potentially in jeopardy.
He's had microfracture already.
Right, but that doesn't make him any less of a prospect last year. And it doesn't make anything that he did on the collegiate field and the reason everyone felt about Jadeveon Clowney any less relevant. And for a year later, for somebody to try to be telling me that Randy Gregory's a better athlete than Jadeveon Clowney,
but think of it this way, all right? Terrell Suggs. Terrell Suggs ran a slow 40. Remember when he was at the combine?
Yeah.
He ran a really slow 40 time. Great player, right? Probably a Hall of Famer one day. Vic Beasley may be a better athlete. That doesn't mean he's a better 3-4 outside linebacker. I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to say Randy Gregory may be a more explosive athlete just based on pure measurables. That's all. That doesn't tell you he's a better football player.
No, it doesn't. I don't think it says anything about him being a football player. I think that Greg Cosell is being really short-sighted on how great an athlete that Jadeveon Clowney was. He was the most explosive player in college football 2 years ago.
Could you imagine?
Explosive.
We talked about this a little bit off the air, you and I, this week. What if the Texans had taken Blake Bortles and the Jags had Clowney had fallen to the Jags and they had grabbed him?
Yeah.
And now you're sitting here with a guy who, let's assume he had the same injury issues that he had last year. You got a guy that the scuttlebutt has been this offseason is that there's concern that he'll never be the guy that they drafted him to
right.
be, that he's never going to regain his explosiveness, that this knee injury is a serious hindrance to his career
sure.
going forward.
And we'd be having a conversation about, is Marcus Mariota really worth the number 3 pick in this draft?
Or is he going to fall to number 3?
Right.
Does everyone have to trade in front of the Jags? And now are the Jags in the worst possible position needing a quarterback and not having one fall to him? Can they possibly spend another top 3 pick on a pass rusher in consecutive years? I mean, the storylines, had it gone that way, and who knows, maybe the Jags would have liked somebody else. Maybe the Jags, well, likely what would have happened was you would have had one of those teams, if the Jags decided they didn't love Clowney enough, or if it had gone a different way, yet Buffalo had interest in moving up to get Sammy Watkins. You probably could have got a deal done to get better value out of that pick rather than just standing pat last year. Any interest in Reggie Bush for you?
No.
I don't think I do either.
No, as I've said for the last couple of weeks, if they're going to go get a running back, it needs to be the running back for this team. Reggie Bush doesn't fit that mold.
He would be an exemplary third down back type, right?
They got three.
I understand that.
I'm not saying that I don't think Reggie Bush may be a better third down back than any of the guys they have on this team. He may be.
Well, that's a question.
But no, I don't have any interest
in that. If you are better, though, than the guy you have, our buddy Josh Carney brought up Roy Helu Jr., one of the guys that'd like to see him sign. I said, I just don't see it. Again, because, yeah, he is a very good receiver on third down. But they've got those guys. I think they're good in that regard. Reggie Bush is a little bit different in that you could almost play Reggie Bush as a slot receiver on basically any package. He's that good in space catching the football. I think he's a little bit different
animal.
He still
caught something like 40 balls last year, right?
Right.
I mean, his rushing numbers were way down. But his receiving numbers, they weren't what they had been in previous years, but 40 catches isn't anything to sneeze at from a running back.
What about Jacoby Jones?
Not for me.
I've been going back and forth.
Because I think you're still going to have Tandon Dawson in a uniform next year, too, and it's kind of the same thing to me. Now, Jacoby Jones isn't coming off an injury, obviously, if he'd be coming to Jacksonville. But you got Dawes, who you can at least take a look at as kind of your punt return guy. Neither one of those guys give you much as far as a wide receiver goes. And that's where they need help is wide receiver on the field. I don't know that you bring in another guy just to take a look at him on special teams.
Well, I mean, you could argue Jacoby Jones has had his moments as a receiver in the league, and he's primarily a deep threat, stretch of field kind of guy. T-Wig and I were texting back and forth on this yesterday because, you know, these guys were teammates, Tandon Dawson and Jacoby Jones, a couple years ago, and they both were used as punt returners. And Tandon Dawson, during that time, led the league in average distance per punt return.
Yep.
Well over 15 yards. That's a big number, for a punt returner.
Yeah.
With the same special teams unit, Jacoby Jones was averaging about 12 yards per return. So a significant difference working with the exact same personnel. Difference is Jones also does kickoffs and was pretty good in both departments last year. We don't know what we're going to get out of Tandon Dawson. I have a feeling Jacoby Jones is probably going to get an offer that's more than the Jaguars would be comfortable paying him. I think some team could look at him and bring him in, a contender, and say, hey, we just need a boost to special teams. It's worth it to bring in Jacoby Jones. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the Jags could look at him and upgrade what they've got going on. It depends on how they feel about the recovery of Tandon Dawson from his injury last year. If they think he's coming back, my guess would be they wouldn't have any interest in in Jacoby Jones, or if they think he's coming back and will be the player they expect him to be when they sign him.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with a team signing a guy like Jacoby Jones. Again, they got a lot of money that they can spend. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to upgrade certain positions, but that's one of those second, third wave of free agency type deals. And by the way, don't get fooled, anybody. The fake Adam Schefter account, A Darn Schefter, but it looks like Adam, on Twitter, just tweeted out, per source, Cowboys, the franchise tag, DeMarco Murray, let Dez Bryant test free agency. It's a fake account. And they got one of you. I know they got one of you. Sorry, soft, that you got. But nothing out there like that right now from the Cowboys.
All right, let's get a couple calls in here. 641-1010, the number. Let's go to Jerome up next on 1010XL. Good morning, Jerome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
How y'all doing this morning?
We're good. What's going on?
I got a question for y'all. I just want to say something right quick, and then I just want to get y'all's response on it. I called, I probably called a couple times, and I've probably been on the Cooper bandwagon. But, I mean, I was on the Randy Gregory one for a minute also, but you know what I mean? The more I think about it, the more I'm just thinking about it. Because when I heard you and T-Wig, I think it was yesterday or whatever, y'all were talking about, T-Wig was talking about Amari, and I really think that he has if he was to come to the Jaguars, he would have the second best hands compared to Robinson, probably. I mean, I think his hands are better than Marquise Lee and Hearns, which were known for dropping the balls in college, and Cooper is known for having a little catch behind it. And it would create a little competition right there at the wide receiver position. And do you think if they were to go that route? Now, mock drafts are based on, like, what, pre-free agency? So that means after free agency, let's say the Jaguars go out there and they address the linebacker and safety position. Do you think that now they can just draft for depth, like later on in the draft, for like a linebacker or something, and go ahead and get that for sure thing, like they know they can hit on something with one of these receivers rather than, I hope I hit on one of these linebackers? Do you think it would be better there and then just draft for depth or whatever? Do you see that as a possibility?
Right, all right. Well, when you say, go with a sure thing, I think you're talking about with the third pick overall. I don't think they're considering taking a linebacker, a true linebacker. A guy like Fowler, could he play linebacker early in his career? I don't think you're taking him strictly as a linebacker in a 4-3 defense with a third overall pick. You're taking him to be a pass rusher and to eventually be probably your right end, your Leo pass rusher on this football team if they go that direction. Look, obviously, free agency changes everything. To say that if they were out to go out there and answer free safety and linebacker, well, there's a bunch of other positions that need answering too. I don't think this team's nowhere near, in my opinion, just drafting for depth. They need to find several starters in this draft in addition to what they do in free agency. Now, Tony, if they go and they get a right tackle, if they get a wide receiver, if they get a tight end, they get a bunch of stuff, well, then that's going to dwindle. But right now, right tackle, potentially receiver, mm-hmm. tight end, you could argue running back, right? Free safety, outside linebacker. All those are places where I think they could use an improvement in the starting lineup. And then, you draft a pass rusher. Doesn't mean he's starting day one, but that's with an eye towards eventually replacing a guy like Chris Clemens, or maybe if you draft Leonard Williams, a replacement for Red Bryant. That's like six or seven positions. They could have new starters in combination between free agency and the draft. So I don't think this team is just at the point where they are just looking for good quality depth anywhere. They need to find impact players.
No, they do, and that's why they have the opportunity to, if they stay there at number three, and hopefully in free agency as well. That's what we've been talking about. And by the way, with Amari Cooper, everyone, this word on him as being a guy who doesn't drop the ball, if there was a question about Amari Cooper this year at Alabama, it was that he dropped the ball too much. I mean, that was a knock on Amari Cooper this season at Alabama. His numbers are off the charts. 124 catches, I think he wound up with something like 1,700 yards, double digits in touchdowns, mid-teens in touchdowns, 15 or 16 touchdowns. But I saw from somebody last week that in five games that he charted, he had a drop rate of 11.4% in those games. If there is a knock on Amari Cooper. It's the fact that he does drop the ball too much on uncontested catches.
There, by the way, when I hear a sure thing like Amari Cooper, there's no sure thing.
No.
There's no sure thing, period.
No.
There's no. Leonard Williams is not a sure thing. I think Leonard Williams is closer to a sure thing than a lot of guys, but there's no sure thing. Rarely is there a sure thing, put it that way, in the draft. Amari Cooper doesn't rise to that level. Most draft pundits will tell you that he would have been the fourth best wide receiver in last year's class at, you know, going into the process. And they're not even convinced at this point that he's the consensus number one guy with Kevin White out of West Virginia. So, look, we've seen plenty of wide receivers hit in the top 10, plenty of them bust in the top 10. As good as he was in college, it still doesn't mean he's a sure thing when it's all said and done. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. Fan feedback spotlight asking you today. The Ravens said they're not going to get involved with any players that have domestic violence issues in their past, whether that's free agents or draft picks. Should the Jags take the same stance? We'll get your response to that coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, down the home stretch we come. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith tomorrow. David Garrard, thanks to my scheduling snafu, will join us tomorrow, as well as Duval Doom, who's offered to bring breakfast.
Yeah.
You're going to trust him. I don't know.
I am.
I don't know. I don't want to want one of those time release, delayed reaction kind of things, and I'm not here Monday. You're like, hey, Mike's going to have a very poorly attended funeral coming up. But that's tomorrow on Jaguars Today. Somebody tweet me names of a couple of guys. We had a caller from Slovenia earlier. Pretty cool. Jag fan in Slovenia. And he tweeted me the name of a couple of guys, one in Spain, one in France, who are Jaguar fans. And one of them saw his name in there and just gave me a follow. I found this interesting, Tony. His teams, this is Yang Toinette, is his name. He says his teams till he dies are the Jaguars, first one listed, and that is the picture that he's got up, by the way, on his Twitter feed. FC Barcelona, the Miami Marlins, Rugby Club Toulonis, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but I'm going to go with that. Mm-hmm. Racing Club Le Mans, Racing Club Delens, the Ottawa Senators, and the Portland Trailblazers. Let's chart these all on a map. I mean, it's not like he's picking a bunch of front runners here either.
And you said he's in France?
He's in France. Portland Trailblazers. You'd think maybe, you know, Tony Parker, he'd go with the Spurs. I don't know. The Ottawa Senators, the Trailblazers, the Miami Marlins, and the Jaguars. More power to you, brother. You know what? Stick with them. All right.
Couldn't even pick a French soccer club.
Hey, that's your prerogative. Fan feedback spotlight today. We said Baltimore Ravens said they won't consider adding players with domestic violence issues in their background. Should the Jaguars follow suit with the Ravens? And what were the responses like?
Here's what we got from Brian. Yes, they should. It's not worth the PR nightmare. No matter how good the guy is, you don't need negative publicity. From Isaiah, give second chances. Players can turn it around. From Simon, depends on definition of issues. Charged and found guilty, I would avoid, but just alleged or found innocent, sign him up. From Duval Doom, I think they should follow suit. Largest female fan base in the NFL. Hashtag protect the ladies of Duval. From Irish Jag, of course, there's no room for people like that in society. From Eric, slippery slope, but I agree. I wouldn't sign a guy with that history. Have to have standards. From Cam, NFL has a PR issue with domestic violence. More than likely, every team will now. Jags would be smart in avoiding players with red flags. And finally, from Nick, yes, just look at the Justin Blackmon situation. It only sets you back. Hashtag got to stay on the field.
Boy, it's a tough situation because you got guys like Chris Carter didn't do anything but hurt himself, right? I mean,
right?
That I'm aware of. There were any DUIs or anything like that. Chris Carter just was an alcoholic, as I recall, didn't take the game seriously. You know what I mean? He had a problem, but as far as I know, it didn't, I'm sure it impacted people in his life, but it didn't jeopardize their health and well-being, right? So he got a second chance and obviously turned himself into a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, didn't miss any time, though. Like, he left Philadelphia. He was a Minnesota Viking the next year.
He got picked up, but he got pushed out in one situation
because he couldn't
get his personal life
and
in order.
And had to earn a starting spot there in Minnesota.
Right, and I'm not comparing that to what Ray Rice did. That was more of a personal failing for Chris Carter. He'd tell you that himself, and it worked out. So where do you draw the line? And I guess maybe that's the answer, is on a case-by-case basis. Because, again, these are some of the difficult questions you have to answer now as a general manager in any sport. When you've got a guy like Greg Hardy and you sign him and you know the way it went down, he was found guilty by a judge, and under the North Carolina legal system, that finding of guilt automatically sets you up for an appeal in front of a jury. So he was never found guilty by a jury, but regardless, he was found guilty, but then the charges were dismissed on automatic appeal because she didn't show up. You sign that guy, and something else happens with Greg Hardy that gets him in trouble?
Yeah.
Pretty hard not to say you shouldn't have seen it coming. Yet, because he's in his mid-20s, and he's one of the maybe the five best pass rushers in the league, he's going to get that opportunity somewhere.
Now, yes, he is.
Maybe he's going to get a one-year prove-it-to-me contract with very low minimums. And, you know, that's the way to go about it. Maybe you have a per-game roster bonus every game you're on the active roster. In other words, if you're suspended or something else, you know, you're going to earn a lot more money if you stay clean. Maybe that's the way you structure a contract with a guy like that. But I was watching yesterday outside the lines. They were talking about some of this stuff, and John Clayton was on. Andrew Brandt used to work for National Football Post. Used to, I think, work with the Packers in their front office back in the day. I think was an agent as well, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, they both think that come close to training camp, Ray Rice is going to get a job with somebody. That to me is, I mean, there are people we've heard today that would welcome him in. I couldn't do it. I would not want Ray Rice on my football team. Just wouldn't want him on there. So should it make it any better or worse if I don't have video? Well, part of it is you know exactly the extent of what Ray Rice did. I mean, when you heard he knocked her out, that you should know enough, right? And knocking somebody out may be worse than just pushing them down once. None of it's acceptable. But maybe there is a scale that certain incidences, if you're remorseful and pay the legal price, people would feel a little differently about it. I think it's going to be one of the fascinating situations. Dave Caldwell said, we don't have to have a team full of choir boys. Well, just because you say that doesn't mean, you know, that, I mean, choir boy could be, or, you know, somebody who's not a choir boy could be somebody who got, you know, popped once for marijuana, or he's been penalized for, you know, illegal hits on the field. He could, you know, there's an Ndamukong Suh guy who's seen as a dirty player, but he's not gotten in much legal jeopardy, and then you've got other guys, maybe they keep it clean between the lines, and they have problems off the field, and they don't always fall into the same category. It's a tough landscape,
I think, it really is.
For general managers these days to navigate. That's going to do it for us. We only have 2 hours to navigate. Thanks to all of you out there. Tune in tomorrow for David Garrard and everybody's favorite, Duval Doom, will join us in studio tomorrow.
We got a fun top five tomorrow.
We do. We're honing exactly the nature of how it's going to be phrased, but I'm thinking right now we're going to do top five NFL people, players, coaches, owners, what have you, that have an equivalent supervillain, right? Like, we've done this with superheroes before.
We got Dr. Doom coming in the
studio. Well, he's Duval Doom, yeah. And that is, you know, his name comes from, in part, his, I guess, affinity for Dr. Doom of the Fantastic Four comics, their arch nemesis for all those years. So we thought that might make a good one. We'll do that tomorrow. By the way, Rory is leading at the Honda. Just not the Rory you expect. That would be Sabatini, not McIlroy. Rory McIlroy has yet to tee off the world's number one ranked golfer.